We're going to go ahead and get started this morning. As always, we're going to start with prayer, just inviting our sweet Holy Spirit into the room. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. We thank you and we pray for you to come. We pray your kingdom come. We pray thy will be done in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would minister and speak to us as only you can minister and speak to us. Lord God, we can just only say words, Lord God, but you are the one that ministers to the Spirit. Oh, Lord, so we pray that you would do that this morning, Lord God, that you would change us, Lord God. Transform us into that royal priesthood. Transform us into that holy nation. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessing, and we pray, as the song said, thy will be done. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Amen. As we continue on with the lesson, the bread of life, and as you probably saw in your book, we just have a few lessons to go, guys, and then we'll be moving on to the war room. And I can't wait. I'm just really excited. And I hope you just, I just want you to start praying now. Just start designating a place for your war room and just start really thinking seriously about prayer. As I said, this lesson, Christ as the bread of life, has been such a serious lesson because we really have had to examine ourselves as to what we're going to be about. And are we really going to be serious? So we started a few lessons ago talking about the communion and how God takes this very seriously. And that's why that scripture says many are sick among you and many sleep or have died because the communion represents the blood and the body of Christ, which God takes very seriously. It is the only thing that could have purchased our salvation. You know, bulls and goats couldn't do it. The only thing that really meant something to God was the blood of his son. And that's why it is a ceremony that we take very seriously. We talked about last week what it is to live this name, the bread of life. It was about taking it in every day. That's what it means to live it, to really take it into your life. It's not a Sunday morning only thing. It is something that you need to be taking in every day and then living it out so you are prepared to deal with the attacks that we will face, that we do face every day. We will be more prepared. I'm telling you, start taking in that daily bread, it will change your life. You know, it's not enough just to say, I've accepted Jesus Christ and then go on about your merry way. There is a life that you've accepted here. There's a Savior that's attached to this thing that you've got to understand that he is a part of this thing. You've given your life to him, and it begins and it continues and it ends with his daily bread. So today we're going to talk about praying this name. And again, we just go back into a mode of being very sober as we talk about praying this name, the bread of life. And our key scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:31. It's on your handout. There may be some extra handouts if you don't have one on the table. And the scripture says, I assure you believers by pride, which I have in you, in your union with Christ, our Lord, I die daily. I face death and die to self. And this is the Apostle Paul, of course, talking about how he has to die to himself every day. And I love the fact that this is the Apostle Paul. This is not Joe Schmo. This is just not a lay believer. This is the Apostle. This is the Apostle that is planting churches of Jesus Christ all over the region, who has to say and make this confession that he dies daily. So the first comment on your lesson says, I am learning, Father, that the bread of life does not manifest in any place where the grain unto death has not been buried. And that's from your book. And that is such a powerful verse, a powerful quote, that the bread of life cannot manifest where the grain unto death has not been buried. And unless you're ready to die to yourself, then you don't even need to be dealing with the bread of life, okay? Because it will not take root in you unless you're ready to die to yourself. Because of where we came from, the bread of life is totally different than where we came from and what we were raised in. So if you're not ready to change totally and completely, then you don't even need to be fooling with the bread of life. Okay, because it is something that you have got to set in your mind that I choose as an act of my will. Lord, I choose to die daily. And if you need to pray the Andrew Murray prayer, which is, I am willing that you make me willing, then go ahead and start there. Lord, I'm not willing right now, but I'm willing that you make me willing, is what you want to pray. The comment goes on to say, a seed cannot bring forth new life unless it is planted, then dies, and from that death, new life springs forth. We must decide to die to ourselves. In praying this name, the bread of life, we must allow the grain of the bread to be brought forth in us, and this only occurs in our death to ourselves. This death will occur in your prayer closet and at your altar of humility and obedience. They go hand in hand, humility and obedience, okay? And it's a death that's going to occur in the prayer closet, okay? It starts personally. It starts just with you and Jesus having that conversation, okay? It's not going to occur in the group prayer. It's going to occur when you are on your face before him, confessing and admitting things about yourself that you know you need to die to because it doesn't line up with his word. And the bread of life that you have taken in is telling you to. This death must be on purpose. It won't occur passively. Just like Christ's death was on purpose. It was an act of his will. And that's what we got to understand, that Christ's death was on purpose. You know, as I said, nobody killed Christ. Jesus Christ laid down his life. So it was done on purpose. And there's a scripture, and in your handout, you'll see that the scripture, your handout has two sides to it, but turn to the side that has the scripture from Luke 22. And let's read, and just reading this scripture, and this is from the Berean Study Bible. It's Luke 22, 41, starting at the 41st verse, and it says, "And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, where he knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and in his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground." So this is the Savior. This is the Savior making a decision to die. Because, see, he had to make that decision. Remember, all power was in his hand. He was completely human and completely God. But he had to make a decision. At this point, he's making that decision that he's going to die. He asked the Father, if you are willing. And that makes me think that the Father perhaps was able to make it so we could be saved, maybe, without the death, without the suffering, without... So he's asking, Father, if you can... If there's something you can do, if, you know, and I don't even think it was an if. It's like, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And I know God the Father, he being Alpha and Omega, he knew this is the way we need to go. For the humanity, for the humans. The humans need to see this. The humans need to know that you chose to suffer. The humans need to see it. So the Father's will was that the Son dies. The Father's will is that the Son suffered. So Jesus lined up with the will of the Father and said, "Thy will be done." And the anguish was so heavy upon him because he knew what was coming and he prayed more earnestly. So we're going to talk about the steps of spiritual dying. You know, just, you know, as we look at the scripture, we see these steps. First of all, he withdrew. You have to get away from all the other voices. When you're getting ready to lay down something for Christ, you need to get away from all the voices. Jesus withdrew, first of all. He had to get away from voices like Peter, who rebuked Jesus after he told him of his coming suffering and the death. See Mark 8, 31. Just read those verses. Peter was rebuking him and says, no. Jesus was telling him about all the things was going to happen. The Son of Man is going to go down. And the Son of Man is going to be crucified. He's going to be arrested. All these things he was telling him. Peter rebuked him. No, it's not going to happen. So sometimes you got to withdraw from the other voices that don't get it, don't understand. It's between you and God. Sometimes there's stuff that's so personal and so deep between you and God. You have to get away from all the other voices. So it says Jesus withdrew so he could go pray by himself. And then he withdrew and then he prayed. The scripture says, so there's a time when you just get on your face and you cry out and you pray and you talk about these things and you see what he was praying. Father, if you're willing. Father, it doesn't have to be this way. Father. But when he came out, he was ready to do what God told him to do. The second part says he laid down his will, the contending with God. Folks, there is a struggle. When you're going to die to something, a habit, a relationship, you got to let some people go because they're not good, they're not edifying. You got to let them go, and God has told you, the Holy Spirit has told you, you need to let this relationship go. Some things you got to let go, stuff you got an abundance, God has told you to give it, and you don't want to give it because you want to keep it for whatever reason. You're thinking about 5 years down the road and all this stuff, and God is telling you to give it now. God is telling you to go somewhere and you don't want to go. I don't want to go there. I want to go here. I want to stay here. It's comfortable here. I like it here. My friends are here. And God is saying, go. God is saying, don't take the promotion. Now, those are hard ones in America. Oh, don't take the promotion. And God will say, no, don't take that job. I know it pays more, but don't take it. I want you here. This is your assignment. This is where I have you. And it's hard, and there's a contending, and there's a fighting that's going on between you and God. That's what contending means. You're battling, you know, battling or struggling within yourself. I don't believe Jesus was fighting with God, but it was more a contending his flesh. Remember, he was in this package here. You know, and this package will scream out. This package wants its own way. This package has feelings, okay? Just jab it once. It'll say, ouch. So that's what the Savior was contending with, this package he was in, and knowing what was coming, and knowing that this package was going to hurt, and this package was going to be suffer, and this package was going to be broken open, and it was going to hurt. Pain like you've never known. And Jesus, being the Christ and being God, he wasn't going to pass out like some of us could. See, you mess with this package long enough, I'll just pass out on you. And then wake up and later on, hours later, you know, but Jesus, that wasn't going to happen with the Savior. The Savior was going to stay conscious through the whole ordeal, feeling every suffering, every pain, everything that was going on. His back was in ribbons, folks. I mean, you guys have heard the stories of the cat of nine tails and the strips of leather with pieces of metal in it that they whipped him with. 39 stripes. Can you imagine? Back broken open. He should have bled out long before he got up on that cross, but he chose, I'm not dying until it's done. That's what he was facing. No other human being has ever faced that. Because another human being would have died before they ever got up to Calvary.
Oh, yes.
They would have passed out. So this is what he was dealing with. So he's contending. He's like struggling. He's struggling with this flesh that he's in to be obedient, as do we. See, I'm glad he did that. I'm glad this is in here because it tells me in my flesh that I'm going to be struggling sometimes with what God would want. That it's going to be uncomfortable for me sometimes. It may be downright painful for me sometimes. But he was contending with his Father in prayer so he could lay down his will. And then the scripture goes on to say he was strengthened. See, the Lord will come and he will strengthen you. See, when it's God's will, when God is calling you, he will strengthen you. You will get this strength that you don't know where it came from. But it says the angel came and strengthened him. And God will come and he'll strengthen you and he'll encourage you. A word will come out of nowhere toward you concerning what God has told you to do. And then finally it says he was in anguish and prayed more earnestly. The struggle may be ongoing, therefore your prayer, your praying must continue as you complete your mission. Don't stop. You know, you might get the breakthrough, and you have made the decision, you're going to do this, I'm going to do this. Keep praying. As you complete the mission, keep praying. Even after the mission, keep praying. Because here come the enemy to get you to change your mind. You need to go back and make that. You need to go back, girl. You need to go get that stuff. Because you keep praying so that you can finish your course and you can keep the faith. And then verse 45 says, when Jesus rose from prayer and returned to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping, he asked. Get up and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. See, Jesus knew what the hour was. See, some people don't know. Jesus knew that he was on the brink of saving humanity and that the demons were pressing in harder than ever because they didn't want this to happen. You know, so they were pressing in harder than ever. And so he was telling them, get up and pray so you do not enter into temptation. When you have struggled and contended with God in prayer and have come to a decision to lay down your life so that the bread of life can take root and grow in you, there will be others that will be asleep. You understand? They're not where you are. They haven't been in the prayer closet with you. You've been in there by yourself with you, just you and Jesus. So when you come out, you might find that they are asleep. They don't get it. They don't understand. Why are you doing this? This doesn't make any sense. And you won't be able to explain it either. So don't even try to explain it. Just, I've got to do this. You know, Jesus didn't try to explain things to Peter. He's like, no, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to. Blah, 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 blah. Peter's still asleep, doesn't understand what's happening and what's going on. Some may even be passionate with emotions, like Peter was passionate. Oh, he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He's one of them sanguines, man. He was one of them sanguine personalities, that outgoing, popular, talkative personality. That's who Peter was. He was very passionate with his emotions. They will not understand your decision because they have not yet awakened. The bread of life has not yet taken root in them to wake them up. But perhaps through your obedience, it'll happen. Because their day will come where they need to go in their prayer closet and contend with God concerning a decision. And they will remember you. And they will remember what you did. And they will understand. They will awaken at some point. So as we compare, as we go on, so understanding that whole segment of the steps to spiritual dying, you know, and what we need to do. And it's episode after episode that we go through of spiritual dying. You know, 1 year it could be I'm dealing with having to give this away. Next year I might be dealing with a relationship. So it's ongoing that we go through this process again and again and again of dying to ourselves. So as we go back to our lesson, we're talking about John 6:32, and that's the verse where Jesus is talking about the bread that Moses gave from heaven, but that his Father gives the true bread from heaven. The bread God has given it is him who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 6:32. And he's comparing this, we're comparing this to Exodus, the scripture in Exodus 16. And we see the similarities of the manna that fell from heaven daily and Christ as the bread from heaven. Note that in Exodus, that the daily manna was not only for their physical nourishment, but also to test their obedience to the instructions from God. If you read that scripture in Exodus, you'll see it wasn't just about the manna and them being fed. It was about obedience, too. Christ as the bread of heaven also came with instructions from God. In fact, most of Christ's ministry was spent teaching or giving instructions from the Father. To read further in John 6, this is 35 and 36 and 38, Jesus replied to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me as Savior will never be thirsty, for that one will be sustained spiritually. There it is right there. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. Seen the miracle, seen this, seen all this stuff, and still you do not believe. Then verse 38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me, which is what it was all about all along, is to do the will of the Father. But I'm telling you, you can't do the will of the Father if you're not taking in the bread. If you're not dying to self, it's just not going to happen. But Jesus is trying to teach these people, trying to give them instruction on what they need to do in order to grow in the things of God. Now, we look at Exodus 16:4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will cause bread to rain from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day so that I may test them to determine whether or not they will walk obediently in my instruction or law. Okay, and this is while they're still in the desert. See, God is testing so many of, he's testing us all the time.
Yes.
God does not tempt us. Now let's get this distinction. He doesn't tempt you with sin, but he does test you to see if you can go to the next level. He's taken these people to a land flowing with milk and honey, a promised land. But I gotta test you to see if you can handle this. I want to bless you. I want to give you these things, but I got to test you to see if you can even be obedient, even to gathering bread. Can you be obedient and just gathering bread? Don't take any extra. Just gather enough for your family for the day. And trust me for tomorrow was the instruction. You know, it's really interesting. I mean, God just is, he's always working. Never think anything is random in your life. Never think something just happened. Oh, I just had that fender bender. Oh, nothing's random. He is always watching and like, okay, I'm gonna allow this and see if she's ready, if he will respond properly. You know, and if not, oh folks, okay, let's go back to the drawing board. We're gonna do it again. You know? You got to learn to appreciate some people in your life because they're there because God allowed them to be there to test you to see if you will take in the bread of life and grow up. So as you pray his name, the bread of life, you are praying for your own obedience to his instructions. And let's be honest, we do not always want to obey. Therefore, we do not always want to take in his bread. Let me say that again. We do not always want to obey. Therefore, we don't always want to take in that bread. We don't want to read it today because we have our mindset on what we're going to say to somebody and what we're going to do. So we don't want to take in the bread because we don't want to obey. We don't want to read about loving your neighbor as yourself or forgiving your brother or your sister or his trespasses or sins or to give out of your need. Well, no. I don't even want to deal with that. We want to argue. We want to be angry. We want to be greedy. We even want to hate people for a moment. Just for a moment. After all, I am a Christian. So can I just hate you for a moment? That's the way we are. You know what it feels like. You know when your blood is at that low simmer and you're ready to lay into somebody. You don't want to hear a scripture. You don't want to hear about loving somebody. You don't want to even hear it. And God help the person that comes up to you with a scripture. Honey, you going to take that Bible? I don't know what you might do. We don't want to hear the daily bread because we want to be angry for that moment. But God is watching and may we pray that God eventually help us to take in his daily bread and to die to ourselves so that his bread can take root in us and we walk in obedience. I just remember I'm hearing Joyce Meyer in my mind as she was talking about how she would get so upset with her husband sometimes that she would have to run in the bathroom and stuff a towel in her mouth and just scream and scream and scream. So if you have to do that, go ahead and do that. Do that. Been there, done that. I have to. I'm like, okay, you know what? I just need to go in my office and close the door. Yep. I just have to close my door right now. I just have to, you know, I have to go on a walk. I have to, you know, because Lord, I'm about to sin. I know I'm about to sin, you know, and sometimes you just got to know. You just got to know, okay, Lord, I'm about to sin. And you can be honest about it. Be honest with the Lord about, Lord, I'm about to sin. Lord, I want to say something that I should not say, but I want to say it. And when you don't want to hear this, yeah, you're about to sin. Okay, let me tell you. Let me just make it plain. When you don't want to hear this anymore, you're about to sin. You don't want... Don't talk to me about that scripture. You're always quoting scripture. You're always talking about the Bible. You're God, God, God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Because you don't want the bread. Because you want to sin. Okay? So the prayer is, Lord, I'm willing that you make me willing. Lord, I'm willing that you make me willing. Because I'm not willing right now, and I admit it to you. I'm not willing. I'm going to go, and sometimes we will. We will go do it. We'll go do it, and God won't stop you. He'll let you do it. But then we're going to go around that mountain again and again. And he's so loving, and he's so patient. He'll keep going around that mountain with you until you learn, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. They hurt my feelings really deeply, Lord God. They hurt me, you know, and especially those of you that have authority, that have power, you bosses, you supervisors, you people that, you know, that have authority over other people, you especially. It's hard to be humble when you know, okay, you know what? You're done. You're going to talk to me like that? Oh, you know, and even, am I getting too close to home? I heard you, Kai. And your children, oh God, the children. Oh God, the kids are hard. Because you're like, you know, you want to say like Cosby said, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. Oh, you don't talk, you know. God had to teach me all over again how to love my children, how to be patient, when to keep my mouth shut even though I had the authority to do stuff to them and do this and do that and withdraw this and withdraw that. And God would say, love them. Ooh, can I love them this way, Jesus? I want to love them this way. Love them. I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the daily bread and everything. Amen. Don't think you know. Just because you're a mom, don't think you know. Just because you're a dad, don't think you know. You need the daily bread to raise children. You need the Holy Spirit talking to you to run a business and to run an organization, to supervise people. You need the daily bread to supervise folks. That's why it was written. It was written for the human race. So don't ignore it. Take it in. I tell you, you will be so happy you did. Yes, there are going to be some painful moments. I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some painful moments where you just have to keep your mouth shut. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The Bible says we humble ourselves before God and men. And that's the hard part. I can humble myself before God most of the time. But before men, before other humans, that's where you're not better than me. That's the hard part. Before the humans, the fallible, sinful humans. But God calls us to it. And when we take in that bread of life, that's what it's a bit about. I can't, you know, we always come back to the altar of humility over and over again. The next point on your lesson says, we are safe and healthy when we take in God's daily bread with obedience. We are sustained day after day as we keep his instructions. It is only our human arrogance and Satan's lies that keep us from our daily bread, which sustains us. It is our human arrogance, and it's the lies of the enemy that keeps us from our daily bread. I know we live in a society that does not want to hear this. I know that. But I'm telling you, if you are wise, you will take in that daily bread. It will sustain you. It will keep you. Note what happened to the manna that was gathered outside of the instructions of God. Here it is in Exodus 16:18. And it says, when they measured it with an omer, He who had gathered a large amount had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered according to his need or family size. Moses said, let none of it be left overnight until the next morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left a supply of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul and rotten. Boy, there's a lot in here. There's a lot in this scripture right here. Even if we have faithfully, see, first of all, I'm saying they faithfully took the bread. They took the manna. They did the instruction. They measured. They faithfully took the bread. So even after we have faithfully taken the bread from heaven yesterday, today we can still falter and disobey as we fall back into our old way of doing things. Just because you had a good day in God yesterday doesn't mean you're going to have a good day in God today. We can sin in a moment. We can fall back in a moment. That's why the daily bread is important. Like they did. They took in the manna, but they didn't listen. And it bred worms. So several things can be inferred in this comparison to Christ as the bread of life. The most outstanding is the comparison of gathering or hearing the word of God, but failing to obey it. That's a sad state to be in. When we do this, there is a rottening, a deception that occurs in our souls. The bread of life becomes an offense to us instead of our nourishment. And you'll see this. See James 1, 22 and 25. See, we don't understand that. You're sitting in the church week after week, taking in the word, listening to the word, and not doing it. And after a while, it becomes an offense to you. You don't even want to hear it. Because you don't want to do it. You're listening, you're hearing it, but you don't want to hear it anymore. So you become offended by it. Christians can become what they call jaded. Heard all the word, heard it, been in the Bible study, sang in the choir, did this, did that, you know, and they become jaded. We can become jaded or tired, bored, lacking enthusiasm or unmoved by the word of God. That's a sad place to be, folks. And that happens when we hear it and we don't do it. That's what happens. See, if you're doing this word, you're excited about it because you're seeing the results of your obedience and your life is being blessed and you want more and more of it. But when you're not doing it, you become jaded. And after a while, you get offended by it. It doesn't take all that. And it's, you know, why do you have to be saying that all the time? Because it becomes rotten within themselves. It was a bread from God, but now it's rottening in you because you won't be obedient to it. So you have to be very, very careful that this does not happen to you. Obedience, your obedience is not grounded in your feelings. It is grounded in your Christ. Do you understand me? Your obedience is not grounded in your feeling. It is grounded in your Christ. I obey him because he said so. I obey him because he asked me to, not because I feel like it. Because I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to feel like it. Because we're in this package again, this flesh. It's lazy. It is. It loves comfort, loves to be soothed. And then the spirit of the living God will tell you to do something that's going to make this uncomfortable. So you've been warned, you've been told ahead of time, it's going to be uncomfortable. But your obedience is grounded in your Christ. And that's what we do. There's, on the other side of your handout, there's a song by Keith Green. This is an old song. Boy, I used to listen to this back in college. And I just wanted to read the words to you because the words are so powerful. And it's called So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. And it says, so you want to go back to Egypt where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? Eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Oh, what breath for dining out of style. Oh, my life's on the skids, building the pyramids. Well, there's nothing to do but travel, and we sure travel a lot, because it's hard to keep your feet from moving when the sand gets so hot. And in the morning, it's manna hot cakes. We snack on manna all day, and we sure had a winner last night for dinner, flaming manna souffle. Well, we once complained for something new to munch. The ground opened up and had some of us for lunch. Oh, such fire and smoke. Can't God even take a joke? No. So you want to go back to Egypt where your friends wait for you. You can throw a big party and tell the whole gang of what they said was all true. And this Moses acts like a big shot. Who did he think he is? Well, it's true that God works lots of miracles, but Moses thinks they're all his. Oh, we're having so much trouble even now. Why'd he get so mad about that cow, that golden cow? Moses seems rather idle. He just sits around and just always writes the Bible. Oh, Moses, put down your pen. What? Oh, no. Manna again? Manna waffles, manna burgers, manna bagels, filet of manna, manna patty, bum mamma bread. And is it really? I think they probably have the song on YouTube if you want to hear Keith Green sing it, but it's just really interesting how they just complain. Just complain, complain, and complain. Complained about everything. So you want to go back to Egypt. See, some of us want to go back to Egypt.
Amen.
Oh, it's easier before I got to this Christianity thing, said to Christ, and boy, it's getting too hard. Man, all we do, you know, that part, travel. All we got to do, walk all day. Well, you used to be slaves. Getting whipped and beaten and building and all this stuff all day. And now I'm just walking. When are we going to get to the promised land? And look at Moses. All he does is write the Bible. And then he disappeared up on that mountain for God knows how long. And so we built a calf because he disappeared. You know, and then God got all mad and opened the ground and ate some of us. So you want to go back to Egypt. That's what you want to ask yourself. Because some of us, we want to go back to Egypt. We want to go back to the old way of doing things. We're tired of the way God wants to do things, but I'm telling you, we don't want to take in his daily bread and live it his way. So again, folks, this life in Christ is about a pressing on and a pressing forward and taking in his daily bread. That's what the life is. I'm going to tell you, that's what the life is. We're going to the promised land. Okay, we're not home yet. This is not it yet. We're not going to build homes out in the desert and relax and be comfortable. We're traveling. We're on a journey. You know, so we have to take in the manna, the daily bread, and continue on the journey as he would want us to continue in the journey, in obedience. The next comment on your note says, in contrast, when we take in God's word daily with obedience, we discover several insights that help us pray in Jesus' name, the bread of life. First, we discover that there is a fresh supply of heaven's nourishment available to us daily.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Fresh daily. Nothing God has prepared for us is stale. And that's from your book. I love that comment. Nothing God has prepared for you is stale. He's waiting for you to meet with you every morning to give you fresh bread that you need for today. It is not yesterday's bread. It is today's bread. Whatever he gives you for today is relevant for that day or season in your life. It is foolish and even dangerous to ignore God's intel. You understand? He's giving you information. God gives information to feed you, to protect and keep you as you engage the enemy. Any general knows that. You send people in that give you, that find out, spy out the enemy's territory and get information or intel or intelligence. They bring back to your army to tell you, okay, they've got this. They got weapons of mass destruction. They've got this. They got that. They got rockets. They got this. So you know what you're dealing with. So we need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this. We need to go in with our gas masks on. We need to go in like this, and we need to go in like that. Because this is what the enemy has, and this is what God is preparing for you every day. He's got intel for you. Before you go into that meeting, before you deal with that individual, He's got information and intel for you. But what if you just skip, you know, no, I'm just going to go into the enemy's land, you know. That missile's going to get you first thing. I didn't know they had missiles. I didn't know. Like the people that leave camp back in the old times when they were trying to settle the West and they would leave camp, you know, that's why those covered wagons traveled in a group, you know, because they knew what was going on out there. But there'd be one or two, I'm going to ride off by myself. You know, I don't need you all. I don't need the information. And they come back into camp all full of arrows. You seen that? Didn't listen. Didn't want to hear the intel. And that's how some of us are. Notice how you feel at the end of the day. How did the meetings go? Are you sad? Are you depressed because of how the meeting went? And then think, did I pray? Did I even bring this to the Lord? Maybe he had some intel. Maybe he had some words for me that I could have spoken that could have changed the tide, turned the tide of things. So again, the daily bread is so crucial. It is critical that we take in God's intel. Next point says, remember, Christ is the Alpha and Omega. He saw your days before you were born. He knows what bread you need for today before you face today. The psalmist wrote, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's Psalm 139:16. Boy, I love God that God would take that much effort in me, that he would write my days down in a book, and that he would have it my day laid out before me before I have lived even one of them. That's how much he cares, and that's how much he loves you. And that's why when you come in for the daily bread, he's telling you, okay, for August 7th, 2017, this is what you need to know so that you are ready to live this day and be victorious at the end of the day. I'm not saying the day won't be hard, but the day should be victorious.
Amen.
It should be victorious. So get that daily bread as your intel. Lord, what's coming today? Prepare me for the day, Lord. Prepare me for the day. So that's first of all, the fresh supply. Second, there is a need to gather up that fresh supply of nourishment every morning. From Exodus 16:4, a healthy habit of daily feasting on God's word requires discipline. It does not happen by accident. That's from our book. Once again, we must revisit the things that keep us from feasting on God's word daily, which is our arrogance. You know, we don't call it arrogance. We just call it busy. This is more important than reading my word. I need to get on my emails, start answering my emails. I'm guilty. Start answering my emails, start getting this in order, getting this order before I go in so I have this all in order. But it's my arrogance. I think what I need to do in my own strength and my own power is more important than what God has to say. That's human arrogance. What I need to do is more important than what God has to say. So human arrogance, top of the list, even subtle, no need for God attitude. Distractions, and that's a biggie. Distractions, man. Oh my God, help us with our cell phones and our tablets and all of our stuff that we have that's beeping and buzzing and ringing and, you know, and how we've become so addicted to them. You know, it's like, you know, you don't have your phone, man. I mean, you could be on medication. You know, you find out halfway to work you forgot your medication. Well, I can get through the day. But you forget your phone, you going back home to get your phone. Isn't it? It's true. We are not going to be without that phone. Because the enemy's got us convinced that something urgent's going to happen and I'm not going to know. I need to know the updates. So distractions, folks. And again, that's a biggie for us in 2017. Really moving the distractions. That's why I love the concept of the war room. the place where you go into a closet and you close the door and nobody disturbs you. You don't bring your phone into the war room. You leave it out there somewhere. God can take care of the world while you're in your prayer closet, okay? God can take care of the world while you're in your prayer closet. So go in there and talk to him and speak to him so the distractions are a biggie. Sloth, oh, we just lazy. Just don't feel like it. Just don't feel like it. And the older I get, the more I just don't feel like it, okay? Again, a pressing in. And then fatigue. That was another one that came up, is fatigue, is that we get tired. Just tired. And sometimes, you know, what the Lord had to teach me was that, what did you spend your hours of the day doing? Because I've given you enough energy to do what I want you to do for the day. So if you can't complete what I told you to do, what have you been doing with your time? I'm like, okay, I did this and I did that, you know, and I had to just really look at my day, because it gave me enough time, but I spent it on other things. And so at the end of the day, I'm tired and I'm fatigued, something that I need to be doing for the Lord or for the family or something that needed to be done, I didn't get done. Why? Because I spent my time on other things and now I'm fatigued and I'm tired. So again, you know, I always tell people, you should control your life. Don't let your life control you. You should control your schedule. Don't let your schedule control you. Look at your schedule. Pray over your schedule. Again, this is about daily bread. Bringing God into this aspect of your life. Lord, as I look at my schedule, Lord, show me how I should do this so I can do it according to your will and your way. You'll be so much happier. Lord, I can't do anymore. And Lord, I said, just go rest. I got tomorrow. Just go rest. But I need to do this. Just go rest. I've got tomorrow. So again, we've got to get to this point where we're disciplined with ourselves and with our day. Each one of these things must be brought under the subjection of the Holy Spirit. They are first brought to Christ by our free will, our discipline, and then subjected to him by his Holy Spirit. Subject everything to him. As I said, your schedule, everything. The key piece of this segment is daily. Many of us start out well, but time can ebb away our discipline. The apostle asked this poignant question of the church at Galatia. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? And that's from Galatians 5 and 7. Some of us start out so good, but then time ebbs away our discipline. Can you ask yourself this question and honestly respond? You were running so well. You were doing so good. Who hindered you? One version says, what holds you back from following the truth? What keeps you from feeding on his daily bread? Is there dust on your Bible? We used to sing that old song years ago. I don't know if you guys ever heard that song, Dust on the Bible, Dust on the Holy Word. We used to sing it as kids. And it came back to me. Dust on the Bible, dust on the Holy Word. And I was like, oh my God. And I could just see in my mind a Bible where you can just draw your finger and there's dust on your Bible because it hasn't been picked up in so long. I know we have it on our phones now. You know, but even then, sometimes we just like having it on our phones. We never open up the app. And I wonder if that app had a record of how many times you opened it up. What would it say? Of how many times you open up the Bible app? Would it say, ooh, once a week, you know? One thing I love about these apps, it'll give you a record of your activity. So again, folks, we just want to press in. And I'm going to stop right there for questions. Any questions or comments?
Well, talk about the YouVersion in our app, that I open it every day. We have a devotional like that. There's one that says War Room on it, and you open it every day. So it tells you the scripture as well.
Oh.
It's so cool, because this one is War Room of the Kendrick Brothers. I started this. And it says, why is prayer strategy important? because we have a very real enemy that wants to stay hidden from you, but at the same time, he wants to distract, deceive, and divide you from seeking the Lord,
yes,
from building healthy relationships with your spouse, children, or other people. So taking the bread every day, really, it protects you wherever you go.
Yes.
And this is why,
yes,
you don't want to even start reading your Bible and stuff, but that you can do your devotional, and it also gives you a scripture on the bottom, mm-hmm, after, and you do that like for a whole month, mm-hmm, and you get into it, you know.
Wow.
I've been doing that every day, mm-hmm, before I even go get out of my bed.
Yes. Does
so
it have?
It's really awesome.
Yes. Does it have a record of our activity?
Yeah. What record?
Well, no,
I know God does.
I'm kidding.
But this is good. There's a word on
that. Yes. So she's the word, and that's on the U version.
The U version.
Okay.
We have all different types of devotional.
Okay.
You know, some of them I already finished, but I'm gonna start in the war room by praying, you know, about prayers.
Okay.
And so war room playlist, and then every day, you know, it's different.
Wow.
See? And
that's
there's
pretty cool.
Different scriptures.
Yeah.
So it's just, even though you don't have time, I know everybody works like me. I work and I get up at 5 and I just start reading my devotional and my scriptures,
mm-hmm,
at the same time too,
yeah,
after. And you do that and it just makes you feel so awesome,
yes,
for the whole day. You know?
Amen. Amen. So you're talking about the war room segment on the U version,
yeah,
Bible.
It's funny when he was talking about crucified, when Jesus was crucified, even when Jesus was in the Garden of Sin, when he was praying, he was going through all that fleshly,
mm-hmm,
stuff that we have, and he defeated it. So,
mm-hmm,
he defeated,
yes,
the flesh, he defeated sin. So now, it's funny because I was on that the other day, exactly what you talked about. I said, through you have given us the power to do what you did.
Yes.
To put this flesh under the power. And we don't have to follow the flesh anymore, because we now have the power through the name of Jesus Christ to crucify our flesh every day, because now we are raised up in you.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So.
Amen. He was the first. He
That's
was the
right.
one that showed
exactly.
that our flesh can be overcome.
You know the bread of life, I think of it, it's actually our survival, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of think after you said we'd be lazy, distraction, and all that you mentioned, all we got to boil it down to is self.
Mm-hmm.
It's us.
Yes.
It isn't Satan. It's us.
Mm-hmm.
We could push the blame on my busyness and this and that, but it's us.
Yes.
Amen.
As I said,
and
number
I see it. I heard a deal the other day on the thing on TV that
wow.
really spoke to my mind. My heart, you know, and it says for us to be successful, we have to be right with people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I put this in the spiritual thing, right with people. We have to have our employees as priority.
Yes.
And then it said we have to be authentic, be yourself.
Yes.
Don't try to play the role. You are what you are. Because
mm-hmm.
God knows.
Yes.
God knows who
yes.
you are. So
mm-hmm.
why go around playing the role?
Yes.
Because he's listening. He's hearing us. He's
mm-hmm.
seeing us. Be real.
Yes.
And the other one that really got me is be vulnerable.
Be
now,
vulnerable.
We know the
wow.
Holy Spirit
yeah.
has to
mm-hmm.
kind of lead us into what to
yes.
do and not to do.
We don't want to show weakness.
And you know which one really got me? Know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking, putting that over and over. I couldn't grab it. Well, we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is true, and
right.
He knows it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have to be continually in the Spirit to be able to know the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was be transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think transparent just says, hey, this is it. This is the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened.
Yes.
Don't be
yes.
ashamed of it if it's going to glorify Christ.
Yes.
We don't have to be ashamed of who we are, what we went through in our
mm-hmm.
life. If it's to glorify Christ, go ahead.
Yeah.
But back to the bread of life, I really think that first of all, we have to have a desire for it, for the lost. For the lost, because we can't teach or preach anything we don't know. And then we have to have a real, real burden for the lost.
Yes.
a heart that cries out to God.
Yes.
If I don't have a burden, give me a burden.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's what I feel he says to us every day.
Yes.
Have a Christ-like mind. Be like me. Try to. But you know, we fall short.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could say is that through the Word of God, he lets us know, oh, come on, Virginia, you're okay. We'll make it.
Yes.
So I praise God for that, because the Word is definitely our source.
Yes. I'm telling you, and I appreciate what you said about having a burden, because when God gives you that burden for the loss, you don't matter anymore. You know, you see, like you said, your story that you want to keep under wraps, you don't want people to know that happened to you, it doesn't matter anymore. That person is more important. I'm going to tell you my story because your soul is more important than my privacy, you know, and all of this stuff. So when God gives you that burden, you do learn what it is to love people. I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I know if I say what needs to be said to you right now, you can't handle it and you can't deal with it. You have a burden for people. And again, it comes back to that human arrogance. You know, we get so arrogant. You know, we can't take anything. We can't take any insult. We won't be vulnerable because of our human arrogance. We don't want people to see we're weak, or want people to think that we're weak in any way. So we keep this wall up and this arrogance, and we can't love, we can't touch, we can't care for people. I love this series that we're in right now, Learning to Care. I mean, really. I mean, that's where it comes down to. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ right there, is that we have to learn how to care about people, because until we do that, folks, the world won't be won. We can't just put on our little Christianese and, you know, go around with our Bibles and, you know, you gotta care about people. You know, and they know when you care and when you don't. I said, Virginia said, you got to be real. You know, I mean, you don't have to change and be anything else. Just be real. You know, so and just let them see you and see how you've changed and what has changed. Who had their hand up here?
I just wanted to share. A friend of mine was working for this elderly lady, and she used to tell her every time she'd go, she'd always talk to her about the Bible and everything. Well, one day she went over there and she was talking about somebody, one of her neighbors, and she wasn't saying anything nice. And my friend says, well, Mrs. So-and-so, how would Jesus feel about that? And she said, we're not talking about the Bible today, Linda Jean. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to hear about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, sometimes delicate things, you know, because even after we talk, we know where that person's mindset is. So again, proceed with the Holy Spirit, you know, because you will run into people, please, you know, live it, you know, live out the Word, you know, you don't have to quote the Scripture, live it out, you know, just live it out before them, and that speaks volumes to people.
The Emperor's New Clothes. Do you remember the story?
The Emperor's
New Clothes.
I remember that story.
He walked out one day and he wasn't clothed. He wasn't wearing anything. But because he was the emperor, nobody said anything to him.
That's right.
And so they saw him as he really was. Consider this. We stand naked before God and before the world. And if they don't see Jesus Christ in you, and you clothed in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, what do they see? They see what they don't want. And if they don't want it, they're not going to seek it. And if they don't seek it, they'll never know it. So as you walk in your daily walk, you may not like the person you're around. You may not like what they believe in. But you're naked before God, and they're seen past you. And as the song said, look beyond my faults and see my needs. And our greatest need is a closer walk with Jesus.
Amen. Amen. They said that's, you know, that's what this lesson's about. Because I know as we grow closer, the holy nation that the Scriptures talk about is going to be manifested in the earth. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see it in the lives of people, one person at a time. As I said, you know, in just this series on learning to care, the people that you need to care about are around you. You don't have to go on a street corner and find somebody. They're around you every day. We can love our family better. We can love our coworkers better. We can, you know, they're around us every day. That's the Lord has been speaking to me. They're around you every day. They're the cashier at Walmart. Can you just encourage the cashier at Walmart? Have a conversation, you know, with the person while they're checking out. It's amazing what you can say in like 5 minutes to somebody. You know, just be chatting with them, talking to them. You know, it's been amazing. I mean, the Lord has been helping me with that, you know, lately. Just talk to them. Don't just sit there and ignore them. I'm just getting my groceries and getting out. Man, they're right in your face. You know, and the Lord is just prompting me. Can you say hello? Their name tag is sitting right in front of your face. Can you say hello and say their name? How are you doing today? How's things going? You know, when they apologize, sorry for the wait. Sorry. Hey, no problem. Don't worry. We're good. We're good. You just keep doing what, you know, just giving them some leeway instead of being holy nation. A holy nation being manifest in the world, folks. There are so many opportunities. The Lord just showed opportunity after opportunity just to show somebody the love of Christ. You know, little by little, bit by bit. You know, so again, we're press into this. Please don't let this just roll off your back, but press into it. And take in the daily bread. Lord, show me where my assignments are today. They could be 5-minute assignments. But show me where they are today. So that I'll be speaking. So that I'll be the holy nation that's radiating Christ out to the world. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you. Oh God, I pray, Lord God, for us, Lord God. Your people, Lord God. Father, we thank you for saving us, Lord. We appreciate that, Lord. We appreciate your shed blood that saved us, Lord God. But we know it's more than just the salvation, Lord. It's the growth and it's the maturing in Christ, Lord God. It's the development into the holy nation and the royal priesthood, Lord God. It's a development into being the light of the world, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that we would not ignore the table of the Lord. We would not ignore the bread of life. Oh, Lord, that you came to be for us, Lord God. That we would reach for our word and we would take in your word every day. Take it into your spirit, Lord, that we would not spend another day going out to the world without your intel, without you telling us where our assignments are and how to do the assignments, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray fear would be cast out. Lord, your word says that perfect love would cast out fear, Lord God. I pray that we would have a love for people. Oh, Lord, that we would have that burden for others, Lord God. Oh, Lord, our prayer is that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God, that we wouldn't matter, that our little stories and our little things won't matter. But what would matter is your love for people and that we would carry it out, that we would manifest it, Lord God. I cast down selfishness. I cast down pride. Oh, God, I cast out our pride. Oh, Lord, our human arrogance that gets in the way, that makes us think that we don't need God. Oh, God, we cast it down in us in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We lay ourselves upon the altar of humility and pray that you would do a work in us, Lord God, that you would move in us, Lord God. Lord, that we would humble ourselves before God and men. Oh, Lord, that we would humble ourselves, Lord God, so we can win the world. Someone said if everyone would win one, then everyone would be one, Lord God. So, Lord, let us win one, Lord God. Let us win one, Lord God. Oh, Lord, show us that one person, if it be that one person, that we need to focus on. Oh, Lord, that we can pour love on. Oh, Lord Jesus, show us your way and your will. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, the bread of life, we pray. Hallelujah.